to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the annual address by the Reverend Eric Williams for annual meeting Sunday at St. Philip's Episcopal Church, January 29th, 2023. Our scriptures today, I think, are perfect for annual meeting Sunday because they point us in a way to the mission statement of the Christian church. When Jesus went up on the mountain to give the Beatitudes, he was in a way recalling to the people there when Moses had gone up on Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments. And now Jesus gives his commandments, these Beatitudes, as part of a longer Sermon on the Mount, which actually goes for three chapters and is his way of laying out what his movement, this Christian faith, is all going to be about. So I thought it was a good day to remember that, and also maybe to remember our parish mission statement, which you will now quote to me from memory. I'll read it to you. This is our parish mission statement. As members of Christ's body, nourished by word and sacrament, empowered by the Holy Spirit, St. Philip's feeds the heart as a community based on sharing the love of Christ with each other and our wider community. The soul, through worship that is grounded in our Anglican tradition and open to new liturgical and musical expressions and opportunities for spiritual growth and prayer. The mind, through education and formation for all ages. And the body, through concrete action in our outreach ministries, such as Rochester Area Neighborhood House, Lighthouse SOS, Bound Together, the Red Cross, St. Peter's, and others. That's our mission statement. It is drawn from our experience of trying to follow Jesus, of taking on board the wisdom of St. Paul that we aren't really that smart as human beings, that God's foolishness is wiser than our wisdom, and that we need to keep it simple and remind ourselves what we're about. So easy to get distracted by so many projects and tasks and busy work. But today is a day to remind ourselves of our core mission, to follow Jesus and to take on board the Sermon on the Mount and to live it out in these ways. We have said at St. Philip's over the years, for many years, that our primary mission is to feed, and to feed in all these different ways, the heart, the soul, the mind, and the body. So let me give you a quick recap. You can read lots more in the annual report. It's online, and there are links to it in the epistle. We printed out some copies, not enough for everybody, but there are some copies in the parlor if you want to grab one of those. That goes into great detail about what we've done at St. Philip's over the past year, but I wanted to mention a few highlights. One of the themes that the vestry talked about last year at this time was as we began to reemerge from our pandemic isolation. You know, we had, this is now going on 3 years of this COVID pandemic. And the first year, of course, was shut down. The second year was, let's worship in fits and starts. Are we going to be in the parking lot? That's why we added the Saturday newsletter, because nobody knew what worship was going to be like week by week. Are we going to be in church, or is it just going to be videoed in church and then you'll be at home, or are we going to be in the parking lot? The Altar Guild really enjoyed that period, I want to tell you, of having to set up for who knows what every week. So but we should really thank the Altar Guild for their work. Let's appreciate them. So the vestry said, you know, we really want to emphasize this year is coming back together, reconnecting. Let's make fellowship a priority. We had no budget, but Jonathan found us money somehow for fellowship. I really appreciate that. So if you're ever looking for money, he's the guy. He can find it for you. And we did a number of great things. We had the Hawaiian lunch in September. We had Oktoberfest in October, Friendsgiving in November. We had coffee hour. We have a new kitchen manager, Karen Funyak. Where's Karen? There she is. She got a bunch of people trained in what the county expects for safe food preparation. And so fellowship has really been a highlight this year. And I look forward to more opportunities in the coming year for that as well. In-person worship made a strong comeback. When I was looking at the numbers, we are basically back to the numbers that we had before the pandemic as far as in-person worship. And as I've talked to colleagues around the diocese, that is not necessarily typical for all churches. So I really appreciate you all. You know, a lot of priests during the depths of the pandemic thought, when we come back to church, is anybody gonna be there? So it's lovely that we are here together. Christian education was a way of reconnecting. Sunday school and youth group were back, and I really wanna express appreciation to Bev Bella and her wonderful group of teachers, and to Shar, I don't know if Shar is here, but Shar who took on the nursery, and of course our wonderful youth group advisors who are busy with the youth group downstairs preparing our breakfast, our brunch. And that is Kathy Gravino and Jane Brown. We met and supported the Hashimi family, refugees from Afghanistan this year. And the latest report is that they are doing really well. They're settled. He has a job. And Jane can probably fill us in more later on. Another highlight for me this year was the emergence of new leaders. You know, every church, we go through cycles of leadership, and there was this core of people who did everything for so long and really were kind of getting burned out. And so to see new leaders emerging in a variety of ways, and I want to say that needs to continue. We need to continue to support and encourage new leadership in our church. But Judy Marchione took over the Red Cross blood drives from Stephanie Ubaidi, and we have a number of volunteers that help with the blood drives. As I mentioned, Karen became our kitchen coordinator. Tom West took over as neighborhood house liaison. A new women's lunch group was formed. A new men's group is just forming, and I want to introduce Rich Knapp. Rich, would you wave your hand? Rich in the back there is our leader for this new men's group, and I'll put the announcement in right now. The first meeting is this Thursday at 6:30, and he needs to know if you're coming because he's making ribs. So join us at 6:30 and sign up with Rich after church. Another highlight, and you'll hear a lot more about this from Jack Anderson, but Jack Anderson and Bill Wagner took it upon themselves, as they have in the past, to do thorough audits of our finances. And so over the past year, they have worked hard to complete audits for 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020. And let me tell you, I've watched them work, and they are meticulous. If you ever worry, how is the money being managed at St. Philip's? Is it really on the up and up? You know, we all hear stories about mismanagement. A lot of even professional audits, they just dip in and do little spot checks of different transactions. Jack and Bill, I don't know what percentage of transactions you guys review, but it's gotta be close to all. I mean, they look at everything. So we can rest assured that when we give money to this church, it is being very carefully managed and audited. And I wanna appreciate the two of them for that exceptional work. Jack also took over the role of treasurer. He wants to make sure that you know that there was no conflict of interest. The bulk of the auditing was done before he officially became treasurer, because it's a no-no to have your treasurer also be your auditor. So he took off the one hat before he put on the other hat. So thank you, Jack. We also bid a sad farewell to Bonnie Hakey, our former bookkeeper, who died very suddenly last year at this time. And we remember her in our prayers later on. You'll hear much more about our finances in the annual report and in the meeting. And I urge you to talk with Jack or any member of the Finance Committee. In fact, if you're on the Stewardship and Finance Committee, would you stand up so we can see who you are? There are more members, but these are guys you can talk to. I also want to say a big thank you to our staff. We have a staff that are almost all part-time and work tremendously hard and go, all of them, above and beyond their job description in service of this church. Irene Sanchez, our parish administrator, Jane Zellers, our bookkeeper, Beverly Vella, the director of our Sunday school and Christian education, Jim Bain, our director of music, Father John Muhlendijk, our Franciscan pastoral associate. Is that, did I get that right? Close. Okay. And Brian Vlaming, who is our sexton, who keeps up with our building. Just really appreciate all of them and the work they do. A lot of it behind the scenes. A lot of it you all don't get to see, but I certainly do. And I want to announce that Beverly Vella will be stepping down as director of Christian Ed at the end of the school year. And I want to say a special thank you to her. We'll thank her later as Sunday school wraps up, but really appreciate the work that she's done taking on Sunday school at probably the most thankless time one could possibly do it, when we were still in the depths of the pandemic and then trying to come back. She's had to be super creative and has put in just a huge amount of love and effort for Sunday school. So Beverly, thank you. So a couple notes about the year to come. We are finalizing a plan to improve our live streaming capabilities. As much as we love running wires and microphones back and forth around the church and taping down the wires, there's a more elegant solution. And so with money from Frank Lude's memorial and another special gift, we are going to be able to install a new system with cameras, and we'll talk more about that and encourage some signups for people to help run that system. It'll be really fun and a higher quality of product for, doesn't mean you don't have to come to church too, okay? But it'll look really good when you're home watching as well. I mentioned the men's group that is getting off to its good start this week. I want to mention what's happening for Lent this year. Lent is only a few weeks away. And so I have some clipboards for signups, and I'm kind of half joking, but I'm also threatening to lock the doors until I get enough signups. But we're going to do a daily video devotion for Lent this year, and it's going to come from you all. I have scripts for you. You don't have to be super creative. You just read the script. If you want to make a couple comments about the scripture, you can. But the idea is you video yourself, or I video you, and then we do that over the next few weeks. And then when Lent starts, every day you get a little email with a video message from one of your fellow parishioners with a prayer and the gospel reading for that day in Lent. But for this to work, we need you to sign up. So I have 11 people so far, which means I need 29 more people. I see 29 people here and then some, so I think we can do this, but I would love to get that sign up accomplished. The other program for Thursday nights in Lent, our traditional time for Lent, our theme is going to be Eat, Pray, Love. Do you remember that book and movie? Well, this has nothing to do with that. It really is literally eat, pray, and love. We're going to eat soup suppers, and then we're going to come into the church and pray, have a meditative devotional service. And then the love part is we're going to feature one of our partner outreach ministries, one of the ones that we have had the closest connections to, ones I mentioned before, Neighborhood House, Bound Together, SOS, St. Peter's, and so forth. Each night, we're going to have a presentation by one of those outreach ministries and learn more about them and find out how our ministry with them can either expand or continue, and the impact that it has on the lives of the people in our wider community. We'll focus on outreach for Lent this year. I also want to mention we've had so many wonderful new people joining the church. I've been doing a class all this past year, and it will end this May, on the Episcopal Church and you. And I want to make a special invitation. If you have never been confirmed or received into the Episcopal Church, this is your opportunity. Over the next month, I'll be collecting people's names and information. We'll submit it to the diocese. And on June 3rd at St. John's in Royal Oak, the bishop will be present to do a deanery confirmation. So I really encourage you, if you've ever thought about becoming formally a member of the church, to do that, to contact me, and I will walk you through that process. Next, I would say, as I look ahead at this year, in September, I'm going to be taking a sabbatical, and I'll tell you why. I had, you know, one of those long, dark nights of the soul about a year ago. I was feeling really fried from the pandemic and wondering what I was doing and why I was doing it. And I thought, should I just throw in the towel? You know, when I get to that 30-year mark, I'll be eligible for a pension. Should I just, you know, hang up my sneakers and call it a day? And over this past year, I prayed a lot about that. And the word that came to me was, absolutely not. You are not finished. You have work to do. You have work to do here. But one of the thoughts was, how can I make sure that these next several years with you are the most productive possible? And so I talked to the bishop, and the diocese recommends that around at 7 years that a priest take a sabbatical of about 3 months. And so I will just be coming up on 7 years this fall. And so with the vestry's permission and with the bishop's permission, I'm going to take a sabbatical from Labor Day till Thanksgiving. I have supply clergy lined up, but there are some plans that will need to be made to make sure that our ministries continue smoothly during that time. And one of the areas that I'm most concerned about is pastoral care, making sure that we have adequate care for our members when they're in the hospital or needing communion at home. And so I'm looking for some folks to help with that. If you feel any sense of calling to pastoral care ministry, speak to me or to Jed Youngman, and we will put together a little group and talk about how we can plan for this fall and beyond to enhance and improve our pastoral care to our members. Let's see. And I want to end with money, one more thing about money. I've had a vision for a while. You know, every year it seems, and you'll hear about this, we're going to talk about our flat roof later on today, and one more big buildings and grounds project that we weren't anticipating, don't have the funds for, and it seems like every year that happens. There's a big project and we go, oh, how are we going to deal with this? So here's my vision for you. We will get through that. We'll find a way to tackle the flat roof project. But you know, there's always going to be another one. It's going to be the parking lot. Eventually, it's going to be the boiler. Don't listen to that. You're fine. But you know, there's always going to be something. And so I am encouraging this church and all of us to consider what it might look like if we had an endowment that could help us cover some of those buildings and grounds costs. Here's my vision. In several years, after all of you go home and talk to your attorney and put the church in your will, we end up with $1 million in an endowment. And then we take 4% of that a year. That's $40,000 that could be allocated to keep us ahead of the eight ball. It just feels like we're always behind the eight ball. Now, $1 million sounds like a lot, but here's how I do the math. If 10 people put the church in their will for $100,000, that's $1 million. Or if 100 people put the church in their will for $10,000, that's $1 million. That sounds like a lot, but I think it is achievable if we have the will and the vision to do it. So I just encourage you, we'll talk some more about this in other times and places, but just encourage you as you think about your stewardship and your giving to the church, we really appreciate your annual pledges. And I'm amazed that after 3 years of pandemic, we are doing as well as we are with membership and with giving are phenomenal. But I encourage you to take the long view also and think about the impact that you could have, the legacy that you could have by remembering the church in your will. All right, that sermon is over. In conclusion, I believe that this church is strong because of the commitment of the lay members of this church. Clergy come and go, I think I said that last week, but it is the core of dedicated members of this church which has made the difference for all of its life. And that continues. The sky is the limit for St. Philip's. It is amazing how well we are doing today after 3 years of this terrible pandemic, of isolation, of disconnection. I'm just so grateful that we have the energy, the people, and the generosity that we have in this church. The heart of this parish is and will be strong lay leadership and participation. Your dreams, your leadership, your participation make all the difference as we together strive to live out the mission that God has given us to do, to feed God's people in body, mind, heart, and spirit, to follow Jesus from the Mount of the Beatitudes into Galilee, into the world that God has called us to serve. So when you see those clipboards coming around later today, sign up. If you see an opportunity for ministry that's not being done, sign up or express your vision or idea. You don't have to wait to be tapped. I think there's this feeling, I know this was true in the church where I grew up, it was considered very poor manners to put yourself forward for something. Oh, to say, I'd like to help with something. Oh, no, no. You need to be tapped by someone, invited to one of these ministries. Well, let's put that to rest forever. If you feel a call, step forward. If you have an idea, put it forward. If you've got people that you want to join with, go for it. My job is, in the main, to say yes, to say thank you, and to invite God's presence and blessing. And so that's what I do today. Invite God's presence and blessing on this gathering of St. Philip's Episcopal Church as we meet for our annual meeting today. May God bless us, equip us, and strengthen us to serve and to love. In Jesus' name, amen.